someone did that to him recently.
I'm sorry.
Sato looked unnerved for the first time since arriving.
The hand is tattooed?
Langdon nodded. The thumb has a crown, and the index finger a star. Sato pulled out a pair of glasses and walked toward the hand, circling like a shark. Also, Langdon said, although you can't see the other three fingers, I'm certain they will have tattoos on the fingertips as well. Sato looked intrigued by the comment and motioned to Anderson.
Chief, can you look at the other fingertips for us, please?
Anderson crouched down beside the hand, being careful not to touch it. He put his cheek near the floor and looked up under the clenched fingertips.
He's right, ma'am. All of the fingertips have tattoos. Although I can't quite see what the other...
A sun, a lantern, and a key, Langdon said flatly. Sato turned fully to Langdon now, her small eyes appraising him.
And how exactly would you know that?
Langdon stared back. The image of a human hand, marked in this way on the fingertips, is a very old icon. It's known as the Hand of the Mysteries. Anderson stood up abruptly.
This thing has a name?
Langdon nodded. It's one of the most secretive icons of the ancient world. Sato cocked her head.
Then might I ask what the hell it's doing in the middle of the U.S. Capitol?
Langdon wished he would wake up from this nightmare. Traditionally, ma'am, it was used as an invitation.
An invitation to what?
She demanded. Langdon looked down at the symbols on his friend's severed hand. For centuries, the Hand of the Mysteries served as a mystical summons. Basically, it's an invitation to receive secret knowledge, protected wisdom known only to an elite few. Sato folded her thin arms and stared up at him with jet-black eyes.
Well, Professor, for someone who claims to have no clue why he's here, you're doing quite well so far.
Chapter 18. Catherine Solomon donned her white lab coat and began her usual arrival routine, her rounds, as her brother called them. Like a nervous parent checking on a sleeping baby, Catherine poked her head into the mechanical room. The hydrogen fuel cell was running smoothly, its backup tanks all safely nestled in their racks. Catherine continued down the hall to the data storage room. As always, the two redundant holographic backup units hummed safely within their temperature-controlled vault. All of my research, she thought, gazing in through the 3-inch-thick shatterproof glass. Holographic data storage devices, unlike their refrigerator-sized ancestors, looked more like sleek stereo components, each perched atop a columnar pedestal. Both of her lab's holographic drives were synchronized and identical, serving as redundant backups to safeguard identical copies of her work. Most backup protocols advocated a secondary backup system off-site, in case of earthquake, fire, or theft, but Catherine and her brother agreed that secrecy was paramount. Once this data left the building to an off-site server, they could no longer be certain it would stay private. Content that everything was running smoothly here, she headed back down the hallway. As she rounded the corner, however, she spotted something unexpected across the lab. What in the world? A muted glow was glinting off all the equipment. She hurried in to have a look, surprised to see light emanating from behind the plexiglass wall of the control room.
He's here.
Catherine flew across the lab, arriving at the control room door and heaving it open.
Peter?
She said, running in. The plump woman seated at the control room's terminal jumped up.
Oh my God, Catherine, you scared me.
Trish Dunn, the only other person on Earth allowed back here, was Catherine's Metasystems assistant and seldom worked weekends. The 26-year-old redhead was a genius data modeler and had signed a non-disclosure document worthy of the KGB. Tonight, she was apparently analyzing data on the control room's plasma wall, a huge flat-screen display that looked like something out of NASA Mission Control.
Sorry, Trish said. I didn't know you were here yet. I was trying to finish up before you and your brother arrived. Have you spoken to him? He's late and he's not answering his phone.
Trish shook her head.
I bet he's still trying to figure out how to use that new iPhone you gave him.
Catherine appreciated Trish's good humor, and Trish's presence here had just given her an idea.
Actually, I'm glad you're in tonight. You might be able to help me with something, if you don't mind. Whatever it is, I'm sure it beats football.
Catherine took a deep breath, calming her mind.
I'm not sure how to explain this, but earlier today I heard an unusual story.
Trish Dunn didn't know what story Catherine Solomon had heard, but clearly it had her on edge. Her boss's usually calm gray eyes looked anxious, and she had tucked her hair behind her ears 3 times since entering the room, a nervous tell, as Trish called it. Brilliant scientist, lousy poker player.
To me, Catherine said, this story sounds like fiction, an old legend, and yet...
She paused, tucking a wisp of hair behind her ears once again.
And yet?
Catherine sighed.
And yet I was told today by a trusted source that the legend is true.
Okay.
Where is she going with this?
I'm going to talk to my brother about it, but it occurs to me that maybe you can help me shed some light on it before I do. I'd love to know if this legend has ever been corroborated anywhere else in history.
In all of history?
Catherine nodded.
Anywhere in the world, in any language, at any point in history.
Strange request, Trish thought, but certainly feasible. 10 years ago, the task would have been impossible. Today, however, with the Internet, the World Wide Web, and the ongoing digitization of the great libraries and museums in the world, Catherine's goal could be achieved by using a relatively simple search engine equipped with an army of translation modules and some well-chosen keywords.
No problem,
Trish said. Many of the lab's research books contained passages in ancient languages, and so Trish was often asked to write specialized optical character recognition translation modules to generate English text from obscure languages. She had to be the only metasystems specialist on Earth who had built OCR translation modules in Old Frisian, Make, and Akkadian. The modules would help, but the trick to building an effective search spider was all in choosing the right keywords. Unique, but not overly restrictive. Catherine looked to be a step ahead of Trish and was already jotting down possible keywords on a slip of paper. Catherine had written down several when she paused, thought a moment, and then wrote several more.
Okay,
she finally said, handing Trish the slip of paper. Trish perused the list of search strings and her eyes grew wide.
What kind of crazy legend is Catherine investigating?
You want me to search for all of these key phrases?
One of the words Trish didn't even recognize.
Is that even English?
Do you really think we'll find all of these in one place, verbatim?
I'd like to try.
Trish would have said impossible, but the I word was banned here. Catherine considered it a dangerous mindset in a field that often transformed preconceived falsehoods into confirmed truths. Trish Dunn seriously doubted this key phrase search would fall into that category.
How long for results?
Catherine asked.
A few minutes to write the spider and launch it. After that, maybe 15 for the spider to exhaust itself.
So fast?
Catherine looked encouraged. Trish nodded. Traditional search engines often required a full day to crawl across the entire online universe, find new documents, digest their content, and add it to their searchable database. But this was not the kind of